Book of Acts this morning. Book of Acts, chapter number 9. Book of Acts, chapter number 9. I'd like for you to go with me to verse number 23. The book of Acts, chapter 9, verse number 23. We're going to read down to verse number 31 this morning. We find the Apostle Paul has gotten saved. It was a dramatic change in his life. It says, "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the basket in a by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." If you do not remember this, let me just put a parenthesis here. Paul, who is called Saul here, was a Pharisee who was the ringleader for the killing of the very first martyr. He sought to destroy the Christian church, but God met him and he got saved. It's a wonderful thing when we meet Jesus. There's the means of salvation. We need to meet him. We need to preach him. But now he is being sought by the Jews, and as he leaves Damascus and goes to Jerusalem, these folks are scared of him. You understand that. Notice verse 27. "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to him how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." Let's seek God in prayer. Father, thank you. We have the privilege in this land of ours, the freedom still to hold in our hands the Word of God. Lord, we know that there are voices in this land would seek to shut ours. But, O God, give us boldness to continue to speak forth the tremendous Word of God that sets men free. Lord, we pray that you might this morning work in our hearts. Show us truth. For, Lord, as we have gathered here together, you have purpose for that. It's not to fulfill an hour. It's not to just soothe our conscience. For you want to this day to speak to our hearts. Lord, we need that. And so we ask you to do so. Give ourselves to it. Bless the preaching. May it be that which is from above. Spirit of God, lead and direct in every word and every thought. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. I believe we find here in the person of Barnabas a good friend. Maybe I could say in these words, a real friend. The book of Proverbs says this in chapter 19, verse 24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." My experience has been, both personally and the lives of other folks, is that we many times think we are friendly or showing ourselves friendly, but perhaps not doing it as well as we think. For God's Word is true, amen? A man that shows himself friendly, he's going to have friends. However, we must qualify and understand a few things about friendship this morning, which we will do. I believe also we find another tremendous truth in that verse, and that is there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a real friend. Now, I believe particularly this is prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe also that God gives to us somebody like that. A friend that is closer than a brother. The Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 11 that the Lord Jesus was a friend of the publicans and sinners. He was a true friend. And I'm thankful this morning that we can call upon our friend, our Savior, our God, if you please, our Lord. And He is one that is always there. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. He's not a fair-feathered friend, nor was Barnabas. He was not one like Samson who used his friend for personal gain. Oftentimes we think about folks and we look at them and we say, well, they're our friends, but really, it's just what we can get out of them. Be honest. Sometimes it's just what they can get out of us. It's not something that goes through thick and thin. It's not something that is lasting, and though we use the term. But I believe it's one like Jonathan. Jonathan was a man who was a friend of David. He was willing to step aside as the apparent heir of the throne that his friend David might ascend to be the king over Israel. That is true friendship. In our text, we find a man who was willing to be a friend to almost anyone. We find in the person of Barnabas one who showed himself a real friend. And as a result, many were brought to Christ through him and by those that he lifted up in friendship. We read a story here of when Paul returned from Jerusalem. We read in this story that as he comes to Jerusalem, nobody wants to talk to him. No one wants to see him. None of the Christians want anything to do with him because they're just not sure of him. After all, he'd been the persecutor. After all, he had been the one at whose feet they laid their coats when that first martyr, Stephen, was slain with rocks that were cast at him. And he died there as he's looking in the face of the Lord Jesus. When he came here, Barnabas was the only one who was willing to befriend him. The one who was willing to give him a chance. Later we find the story of John Mark, whom we believe was his nephew. John Mark had given up during the very first missionary journey and had gone home. And we find that now he wants to join them again. And we see the stories it takes up in Acts chapter 15. And notice what it says, "In some days after Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do.'" Listen to this. "And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them at Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them, they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus." Here's a man who befriended the Apostle Paul, got him introduced to the disciples, and now under very similar circumstances, a young man who had quit but now wants to try again, and Barnabas is willing to give him a chance. And with the very man that he gave the chance, there is a contention made. And by the way, Barnabas was right. And John Mark later became a tremendous servant of the Lord. And Paul even remarks of it in one of his books. But here's a man that was a true friend to those round about him. He showed himself friendly to them. I look at this man, Barnabas, and to get an idea of what his friendship meant and what it did for Paul and what it did for John Mark, we need to look and see that he was a tremendous man of character. The first time we see him is in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 36. And it says, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas." Listen to this. In parentheses, it says, "which is interpreted the son of consolation." He is one who brought consoling or comfort into the lives of others. Why was that? Well, let's notice what it says in that text. It says, a Levi, the man of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas was very generous. Matter of fact, his generosity in selling all of his goods and giving it to the church spurred many others to do exactly the same thing. And that early church was prominent and successful because there were people who were willing not only to give themselves, but to give of their substance that the work of God may go forward. He had generosity. We also find that he was a man of terrific personality. In Acts again, chapter 14, it says they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. One is called Jupiter. The other is called Mercury, if you please. And both of them are given these names, I believe, for a purpose. It tells us the purpose of Mercury because he was the chief speaker. But Jupiter was the chief among the gods of the Greeks and Romans. And so they looked at this man and they saw that he was one who conducted himself as one who was well in charge of things. And people respected him. In Acts 11 and verse 24, it simply says, for he was a good man. Did you know the word God in many regards is a shortened form of good? And God is good. Amen. But it says here he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Here's a man, by his friendship, caused others to come to know the Lord as their Savior. He was a man who was involved in ministry and had great influence in the lives of others. In Acts chapter 11, it says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. Barnabas had been sent by the disciples of Jerusalem to see what was going on at Antioch. They had heard tremendous things. By the way, the church at Antioch is probably the best example of a true church you can find in the Word of God. If you study the characteristics of that church, you will find an example of what it ought to be like. And within this church now is a diversity of people as Barnabas comes and he wants Saul to come and to see this and to learn from it. As a result, it says they assembled themselves there with him a full year and taught much people. And it's interesting, it's at Antioch, the Bible says they were first called Christians. Time out. I don't believe it's near important what you call yourself as what people call you. You can tell the world, I'm a Christian. But when the world starts saying you are a Christ one, which is what that term means, now we've gotten someplace. Now we're on the right road. There are many of our brethren who stand up and they applaud and they say, oh, thank God, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist from the tip of my head to the bottom of my feet. And by the way, I guess I am because I believe in Baptistic doctrine. But at the same time, that term was not something we took upon ourselves. It was labeled by others because of faith and practice. They were first called Anabaptists, which means rebaptizers. Because they sought to see people saved. When they got saved, they needed baptized. And most of them had been baptized or sprinkled when they were babies. By the way, they were deplored in those days. Barnabas was a man who was trusted. We find that as they're at that church in Antioch, that they decide to send some relief to the people in Jerusalem. And we find it says in Acts 11:30 that they sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. He was trusted to do things. He was adaptable to whatever God had for him. That church at Antioch later saw that God had His hand upon them. And the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And thus, he and Paul leave on the very first missionary journey. We find that Barnabas was a man who greatly encouraged people. When he first came to the city of Antioch, it says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. We're talking about a man of tremendous character who was a friend of many. And what a tremendous friend he was. I believe this morning that there's not a person here that does not want a friend, nor a person here that does not want to be a friend. But oftentimes we do not show ourselves friendly. And thus we find ourselves on the outskirts of friendships. And sometimes we have friends and we don't recognize really how good we do have it. I remember one time, I mentioned his name earlier, but Brother Charles Proud, he looked at me and he said, "You know, if I have one or two good friends in my lifetime, I should count myself very fortunate." I'd like for us this morning to stop and consider the matter of friendship. And I'd like for us to do so in a proverbial manner, for I believe the Word of God in the book of Proverbs has some tremendous principles for you and I to live by. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 17, it says, "A friend loveth at all times." Aren't you glad Jesus Christ is our friend? "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, not to cause it, but to help us through it. A friend loveth at all times." Love is seeking the good of the loved one, even at great personal sacrifice. We find the person of Barnabas was willing to put his entire reputation on the line for a man named Saul who had just gotten saved. He had not really proven himself. Though he had preached back there in Damascus and he'd heard some things, yet we know that people sometimes don't hold out. Is that not true? And sometimes the profession is just that, a profession and not really a possession. And yet Barnabas was willing to lay his life on the line, his very reputation, for this man. We find later that for his friend, or with his friend, he is willing to sacrifice that he might have even another friend. A sacrifice that indeed cost him, as the separation comes between him and Paul. A true friend loveth at all times. He doesn't give up on the other one. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't quit on the cross? Aren't you glad our Savior went all the way? He is the friend of sinners. He is the one who has come to make friends with us. He is certainly that which we ought to be willing to accept into our lives. And by the way, Jesus has shown Himself friendly. Many have turned away. But He does have those who are His friends too. I believe love is not only the motivating factor for one who is a true friend, but I find from the Word of God in the book of Proverbs two or three things that would tell me that edification is His desire. In other words, a true friend wants to build in the life of another. He seeks to be gracious with his words because they come from his heart. They're truthful words, and he wants them to make an impact in the life of the other. In Proverbs 22 and verse number 11 says, "He that loveth pureness, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend." Speaking of the grace of his lips, listen, the king wants somebody who's going to speak truth and somebody who is going to be true to his word. Somebody he can depend upon. And here is one who is willing to say that which is true, but do so in a proper manner. The Bible speaks in Proverbs 27, verse number 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." He is not only one who is gracious with these words, but because he's a friend, is also not fearful to help with admonishment. The average church today, if you say some things that are hard or critical, folks get up and leave. Do not like to be admonished. Do not like to have somebody be critical of the sin in their life or the ways that they are living their life. Because we want people to speak smooth thing to us. But isn't it precious, though, when we have a friend that is such a friend that is willing to tell us the things that are wrong in our lives? Not in a condemning manner, but in a way that they want to seek to help us. My good friend, I've only had a few in my life, Brother Kimmel. I lost two very good friends last year, he and Brother Colin. Brother Kimmel was a very unusual man. Not only was he a big man, he had a big heart. I don't know if you knew this or not, but he came to us and preached Faith Promise year after year and tell you that you ought to be willing to give to missions and to give to the cause of Christ and to tithe and to give missions money over and above that. But you may not have known this. I knew what his income was. Less than most people in this church, but he gave $200 a week simply to missions. Not a month, not a year, a week. But at the same time, with that big heart, he made, in some cases, enemies because he was not afraid to tell his friends if they were erring. Or some areas that might be helpful in their lives. Skin sometimes. And I realized that sometimes he was not always the best at how he did it. But that was a desire. And so often we're fearful to say those kinds of things. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Willing to tell us when we're gone the wrong direction. A friend is somebody who wants the very best for that individual. There's a verse found in Proverbs 27, verse 17, says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." When I look at a person like Barnabas, I see a man who was willing to seek to help those round about him, to lift him up. Barnabas was willing to take the back seat that Paul might be the apostle and be the one who was in the forefront, the one who became the speaker, the Mercury, if you please. Barnabas was willing to lift up John Mark and see him get into the ministry. We find, and we read the words, where many came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. Why? Because of this man, Barnabas. Willing to be friends and an encourager and a help to those round about him. And oftentimes, we as God's people, rather than seeking to help each other and be friends one with another, we cast stones at what somebody else is doing and not helping the cause of Christ. Edification, I believe, was his desire in the life of those to build them. These are things that show our friendship to others. A love that seeks for the other individual to be the best they can be. That they might have the best in their life, even a great personal sacrifice. Somebody asked me this week, as many of you know, my aunt passed away and we had her funeral last Tuesday. I was around a great many family and I was asked the question, what does it feel like to have lost your parents? What's it feel like? Many in this room, you've been there. You know exactly what it feels like. And I began to reminisce in my own heart and my mind about my mother and my father. And as I look back, I think, though they didn't treat me like a buddy, they were my friends. Never, never did they want anything but the best in my life. Always seeking to see me go forward. Always seeking for something that would be even greater. My mother, who got almost through the eighth grade, wanted me to go to college and to graduate. Pumped that into my heart and my mind. And told me, by the way, and you young people, she pumped this into my mind. She says, I can't afford to send you. You're going to have to earn the money and get there yourself, but you can do it, son. I do not for the life of me understand why young people today believe their parents owe them that. They don't owe you a brand new car when you turn 16 or 18. They don't even owe you a junker. They don't owe you a college education. It's not my intent to get off on this, but I'll tell you what, because they're your friend, though they might not be your buddy, they're seeking your best. They want that in your life. That's a true friend. It's seeking the good of the loved one. It's seeking to build that individual. It's staying with them all the time. It's even, yea, saying you're doing wrong right now, or you ought to do it this way. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our friend. He is seeking our good constantly. All things, the Bible say, work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ has never given up upon us. I can go back through my life before I got saved and I can tell you four or five times that God gave me the gospel. Did I deserve to hear it again? Brother Oswald, who lived in Toronto, Canada, made this statement one time that all deserved to hear it at least once before some would get to hear it twice. His desire is that the whole world might be saved. His desire was not that others not hear it twice, but oh, thank God He is so gracious. Amen. He sticks with us until we finally listen. Our Savior is one who is willing to admonish us and to show us what is wrong. But He wants the best for us. We have the greatest friend of all in the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross of Calvary for us. He paid the price for us. By the way, the price for your sin and my sin was not hell. Did you know that? Hell is not the price that you pay for your sin. Death being separated from God is the price that you pay. There just happens to be only one place that is built. It was built for the devil and his angels. And hell, by the way, the Bible says, hath enlarged herself, that you and I, if we don't accept Christ, that is our abode for eternity. Our penalty is not hell. It is death and separation from God. Why is hell dark? Because God is light. Why is hell like a bottomless pit? Because God is the sure foundation. He is our friend. He is the one to whom we can cling. And we have a great friend in Christ. He stayed on the cross until the job was done. They tempted Him and said that He could call 10,000 angels. I got news for you. He could have called every one of them. In His power, He could have even called the demons of hell to release Him from the cross of Calvary. But He, in His desire to save our soul, went all the way that you and I might be saved. That is friendship. But it didn't stop there. Jesus Christ didn't just die for our sins that we might have the penalty erased if we believe in Him. No, the Lord Jesus Christ was buried and arose from the dead that we might be made just before God. Not just having our sins paid for, but having the privilege to walk into heaven's gates and to be with God for eternity. We have a great Savior, amen? He went all the way. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Aren't you glad for Him? He's called us to be friends. He was friends of sinners and publicans. That doesn't mean He partook in their sins. It means He loved them. He wanted the best for their life. He sought to show Him Himself that they might see true righteousness. They might see themselves for who they are and the need they had in their life. Why? Because He loved them. He was their friend. Before I was saved, He showed Himself friendly to me. Can I do any less in this life to others about me? Oh, I know. We have grown a little older. We've had many we've shown a friendliness to, and they've stepped on us. And they've hurt us. And sometimes they've even tried to destroy us. Kind of sounds like some that Jesus sought to make friends with too. But He didn't give up. And He kept showing Himself friendly. And He did it right down to 1966. In February, in a classroom in the Applied Arts Building at what's now called University of Nebraska at Omaha, and this sinner got saved. I've not always done what I should, not always brought respect to His name, but He has remained my friend to this day. That's a true friend. Not have many of those in life amongst those that we call human beings. But thank God for those I've had. And may God forgive me for not being what I should to them. And so many. Lord, work in our hearts today. Oh God, I pray You bless. Speak to us. First, we must give You praise and thanksgiving for being our friend. Lord, I know in this room that many have experienced that friendship. They've received it. But perhaps in this room there are some who've never realized just what He did for them. Lord, yet being ungrateful, unloving, yet being sinners, You died for us. You paid the price. Because You're a true friend. Oh God, today I pray for Christians. I pray for those in this room who have accepted You. That You might help us to look within. Not without, not at others. Not at those who've shown or not shown friendliness to us. But oh God, we might look within. Oh God, help us to peel back the veneer. Lord, help us take off the facade and to look and to see. What are we really? Have we shown ourselves friendly? Oh God, when You first revealed that to me, I must say it was not a good day. For Lord, I saw an ugly picture. God, break us that You might make us. Lord God, there are too many in this world who need a good friend. Make us like Barnabas. Do that work in our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.